Hello, And you hear me okay?
Test.
Okay, it's officially 5:32. I'm sorry that we're late, but let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. We're going to start the meeting off with the flag salute. So if we can all stand.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you all for being here tonight. We have officially declared for our annual members meeting, we've declared a quorum, correct? Okay, so quorum has been declared. We're going to open up this meeting just as we would any other meeting with any kind of public comment. Is there any public comment? And if you do have a public comment, let me know, raise your hand and I'll bring you a microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny.
Go ahead. Four thousand and one. Okay. Hey, do we have anybody participating via Zoom, Todd? Okay, so for the person that's participating via Zoom, if you have a question throughout the duration of this meeting or the following meeting, please raise your hand and we'll try to hook you up to the speaker so that you can present your question. So let's start off with introductions. We'll start to my left.
Hi, I'm Karen Kessie, Vice President.
I'm Robert Hosteller, President.
Wait, Secretary Treasurer.
Megan Ogieri.
Ace Christensen, General Manager.
Jeff Conda, Legal Counsel.
Janelle Grayson, Bookkeeping.
Todd Graham, IT Support.
Chris Nugglesbaugh, City Engineer, representing the City of Scappoose.
Hi, I'm Bob Salisbury. I'm with the Port of Columbia County.
Marie Gadotti, Landowner.
Bob Short, representing Air Park Development.
Wyatt Roseman, representing Northwest Aggregates, Glacier Northwest.
Jeff Winker, Landowner.
Kate Burdett, Landowner.
Gina Means, Landowner.
All right, well, again, thank you all for being here tonight. So let's roll into item number five, the approval of the 2023 annual landowners meeting minutes. And Todd, just for clarification, can you tell us who's on the Zoom, who's participating via Zoom so that Janelle can get their names documented? Oh, you're good. Okay, thank you. So the 2023 annual landowner meeting minutes have been posted online for quite a while. Has anybody have, I assume we've all had time to review them. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or amendments to the meeting minutes from last year? So if there's no comment about the meeting minutes from 2023, we can go ahead and need a motion to approve the meeting minutes as presented.
Move to approve the meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, if we could pull up the annual report to landowners, that would be fantastic. And I can, I think in years past, I've read it out loud. I can do that again if everybody would prefer, or if you'd like to read it. I guess we can read it for the record, if nothing else. Okay, so Scappoose Drainage Improvement Company annual report to landowners 2024. Not a whole lot has changed in this as far as the context and the flow of this report. We tried to keep the format the same as it's been in years past, but some of the information has changed, so please pay attention. Our purpose is stated in articles of corporation. The SDIC exists to provide flood control, drainage, and irrigation water as permitted by corporation regulations and particular lands. The SDIC boundary is drawn around a roughly 5,700 acres, 32 feet above sea level or lower, located close enough to the 11-mile Multnomah Channel levee to be protected by the levee. The approximately 900 owners of land within the boundary are members of the SDIC, and the SDIC performs multiple functions benefiting lands located within its boundary. Primary functions of the SDIC include the responsibility for draining the lands within the footprint of the SDIC by transporting stormwater and groundwater efficiently through waterways and pumping stations to the Multnomah Channel. Also maintaining the levee system consistent with federal regulations to provide flood protection to interior lands within the SDIC. The SDIC is funded through an annual assessment of its landowners collected by the county. The SDIC is governed by a board of directors, the board consisting of five elected SDIC landowners who volunteer for staggered three-year terms. The current board members include Megan Ogieri. Thank you. I knew I'm going to get that right eventually. Ogieri. Gary Wheeler, who's not with us tonight. Amanda Hoyt, Karen Kessie, and myself, Robert Hostetler. The term for Amanda Hoyt is ending, and nominations for a position will be solicited from the floor at the annual meeting tonight. We currently have two part-time employees, Chase Christensen, seated off to the right, and J.R. Shadley, our field operations technician. Also, we have one part-time contractor, Janelle Grison, our office administrator. Levee accreditation. The Multnomah Channel levee is an earthen embankment constructed in the early 1900s. The SDIC, a sponsor of the levee, has been pursuing full accreditation for the levee for well over 10 years at a substantial cost. Accreditation is a federal review process to assure minimum design, operation, and maintenance standards are met. The levee is currently operating under provisional accreditation status. Final step in this accreditation process is the interior drainage analysis, the IDA, which is underway. The SDIC board is actively participating with the city of Scappoose and Columbia County as they work towards updating the flood insurance rate maps as required by FEMA. Last year, the city worked with West Consultants on updating the draft maps to include new LIDAR and recently constructed city infrastructure. The SDIC is committed to keeping landowners informed throughout this process. 408 permit reviews. Per the USACE, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers website, a Section 408 review requires, quote, a determination that the requested alteration is not injurious to the public interest and will not impair the usefulness of the project. This means USACE has the authority to review, evaluate, and approve all alterations to federally authorized civil works projects to make sure they are not harmful to the public and still meet the project's intended purposes mandated by congressional authorization, end quote. Depending on the scope of the project, USACE requires the SDIC to provide a letter of no objection, a LONO, either at the beginning or the end of this review process. Cadman Materials, now Heidelberg Materials, was granted a LONO for a single phase 408 after submitting their 30% design package in May of 22 to perform exploratory drilling throughout the Ellis Farm. The Heidelberg Ellis Gravel Mine 408 is still moving through the process and it currently stands at the 60% submission level. On the financial side, the SDIC adopts a budget annually in June. SDIC's primary income source is the annual landowner assessment collected by the county with November property taxes. The assessment has held steady the last few years at $350,000 and remained the same for 2023. The assessment deposits directly from the county into a state-administered, quote, local government investment pool, end quote. The board authorized monthly withdrawals to cover expenses. Current cash on hand is $551,233 as of the 8th of January. Many of the SDIC's largest expenses are relatively predictable, such as electricity, which we budgeted at $90,000, payroll budgeted at $69,825, and payments towards loans incurred for accreditation, a balance of $110,636. Last year, the SDIC did not incur any significant unplanned expenses. We continue our focus on financial and operational planning by installing our long-range plan and infrastructure improvement list, which are beginning to produce more consistent, predictive spending, creative cost-sharing options, and an overall more efficient pumping and water conveyance infrastructure. On the legal side, our attorney, Jeff Condon, seated to my right, continues to attend regular board meetings to help ensure proper public meeting procedures are practiced and to provide counsel as needed. Best practices. The board continues to make progress on the recommendations listed in the organizational assessment prepared by the SDAO, Special District Association of Oregon, in November of 2022. In November of 2022, guided by landowner feedback, the board participated in a work session with SDAO where we successfully completed a SWOT analysis, the first phase in our long-range planning process. Our next step was to solicit and compile additional feedback from landowners accomplished in 2023 to create a list of goals. Most recently, the board granted our general manager, Chase, the authority to assign priorities to these goals and begin executing this plan. It's still far too early in the process to fully understand the potential financial impact this infrastructure improvement plan will have on the SDIC, but we're confident in Chase's ability to manage our finances of the SDIC. He's an excellent steward of our financial and other resources, and to the extent necessary, will work with the board to explore additional funding opportunities. Landowner investment and comment was and continues to be critical to this process. And I want to reemphasize, I'm going to say that again, just because it really is important. It's one of our core values. Landowner involvement and comment was and continues to be critical to this process. And we encourage everyone to visit our website where you can explore the strategic planning page, which will provide insight to the SWOT analysis, as well as provide guidance on the multiple ways to offer feedback to the board. We continue to pursue our goal of expanding the visibility and improving the professional image of the SDIC by creating an informational pamphlet to be distributed at local and community events, informing citizens of our existence and our purpose. We're also in the process of creating and adopting a company logo, which will be utilized on office, legal, and other SDIC documents, signage, and on our website. The SDIC continues to operate our website with a third-party entity, which hosts hundreds of websites for special districts in multiple states. With increased storage capacities, we've been able to upload and store more information, including meeting minutes, financial reports, and most recently, audio meeting recordings. The SDIC board recently adopted an employee manual, a flood emergency response plan, and an amended O&M manual, all of which are posted on our website. Many thanks to Chase and the board for all their hard work on each of these robust documents. A few years back, President Mapes proposed an idea for the SDIC to create and utilize a master calendar. The master calendar continues to be utilized to ensure annual reviews of employees, documents, and processes are completed, and this calendar is posted on our website. City stormwater. The city of Scappoose has updated and adopted its stormwater master plan. The SDIC remains as engaged as possible with the city throughout this process. And now how to participate. Landowner participation and feedback are not only appreciated, but critical to the efficient operation and improvement of the SDIC. The SDIC Board of Directors generally holds meetings on the second Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Meetings are currently held virtually with Zoom. Login information is available at www.scappoosedrainage.org. The website also provides contact information for and effective methods for presenting a question or comment whenever you desire. Additional information on the topics covered in this annual report, as well as other SDIC-related resources, can be accessed on our website at www.scappoosedrainage.org. The SDIC annual meeting is February 13th at 5:30 p.m. tonight at the Scappoose City Council Chambers. And if you receive this, then you have reason to be interested in the SDIC and are encouraged to attend. Thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity to open up to any comment for the annual report. Hearing none. Okay.
I guess with that, we'll go straight into the general manager's report. This is basically just kind of a summary of the monthly manager reports that I produce for the monthly meetings. There's not a lot of new information in here. I just kind of went through and about what I considered the big ticket items that were accomplished this year. On the infrastructure side, do you want to pull that up? It should be on there. Sorry, very bottom. So on the infrastructure side this year, we'd plan to clean the ditch system that feeds the Cherry Orchard pump station. It's a pretty good sized project. That ditch system is rather large, includes a pretty large area. We tried to time it with the cleaning and the planting of the adjacent croplands. The crop that was there at the time was being replanted this year. Unfortunately, we just cannot get the spoils dry enough to be graded. And the last thing I want to do is have the basically the mud essentially plug the planting equipment for the farmer. So we left the spoils side casted. Kind of at this time last year, we had mentioned the Johnson number 2 intake screen. Whenever it got plugged with weeds, it would actually rise up, float essentially. And we actually were able to build and install kind of an adjustable rigid frame that we can push the screen down with. And we have actually been able to gain some of the loss clearance back. One of the big ticket items for the budget was the roof that was replaced this year. About this exact time last year, we were wrapping up the Evans number one pump and motor repairs. And after those were completed, we went through basically the same process that we did with the Evans number two for the energy program through the PUD. And it wasn't as much as last year, but it was still about $2,100. And we were able to find the tow drains that have been on our list of to-do get done. And for the cherry orchard, we were able to find one section of one of the tow drains using ground-penetrating radar. And we're also used to find what was originally the daylight end of the Olson Farm tow drain. I have received feedback from the Corps on what to do with these at this time, given that it is the middle of winter and we don't really go digging around in the levee. These are rated items that will be coming up on our periodic inspection. And so what I've received back so far is these will have to be integrated into our flood emergency response plan. And so we may see a small amendment to that plan coming up to make sure we capture these for the periodic inspection. It's also part of the periodic inspection. About a month ago, we had all the motors at the Evans Cherry Orchard North Pump Station for Mager tested. They all look very well, except for the North number two motor does have some insulation breakdown. So I need to look further into that. And this year on the Riverward levee tow inspection, especially around the areas where riprap were, I spent a lot more time this year digging in depth, looking at the original as-built drawings. The riprap that has been installed over the last 100 or so years was completed in different phases, some by the Army Corps of Engineers, some by what I assume was the SDIC, and just trying to get a more in-depth of what was the original installed or what would be the as-built of these riprap to get us more of a comparison of what was originally installed to where we are now. And as I note here, that actually all still looks really good. There are some areas that we will be monitoring. On our site visit last spring, Rob and I met with Shane, and we actually did look at one area on the very southern end of the levee where there does appear to be some erosion. It's not progressing, but outside of the original levee prism, it's kind of right on that line. So that's an area that we are definitely monitoring. Operations, kind of the way the upcoming periodic inspection started was we noticed last year during we're working through the levee accreditation process that the levee certification was coming due at the end of 2024. As anyone knows, these processes take time. And so I reached out to the Corps probably about 5-6 months ago and FEMA and tried to get guidance on how to proceed forward, how FEMA would treat a levee certification that was going to expire either before or during their review for accreditation. And out of that, I guess, a lot of internal and external discussions, the Army Corps of Engineers levee certification moving forward is only good for 5 years. As part of the FEMA package, they are the only part of the package that expires. And being that it does expire, it's automatically flagged inside of FEMA. And so basically what we have to do moving forward is every 5 years expect a periodic inspection, which would then would be the recertification for the levee. And then we'll just plan on continuing that. As part of that, unfortunately, is, I don't want to say we weren't expecting the periodic inspection, we just weren't expecting it as soon, because the process for the periodic inspection takes time. They're usually conducted by a third-party engineering firm. And just the paperwork, if you will, takes a lot of time to process. And so we basically needed to get started on it right away. You can see I have pump station inspections on Thursday so that this whole process can be completed by the government's fiscal year end of September 30 to make sure that we can be recertified by the levee expiration in December 2024. Everybody kind of catch that? That's, so I just wanted to make sure that when people that's in there. So that's kind of, this is basically moved to the top of the list of priorities. Kind of moving on to other issues, the vegetation management this year. Again, we're just continuing tree removal, blackberries. We did run into a little bit of time last year from the time the fire season ended to the time the rains began. Our window closed down a little bit. I try to complete the work outside of the fire season because the contractors have to charge us at least another extra $300 to $400 per day just for fire watch. So I try to save us that money by working on those fringe months. I'm hoping to get more done this spring, and we still have some money left in the budget so we can get some more projects done there before next year's budget. From there, as everyone saw, the levee was mowed this year, but one area we really focused on this year and took some time was these Riverward levee benches. A lot of them now have been cleaned out because we've removed trees and heavy blackberries, and so we can just continue to mow them now. These benches allow great access to the Riverward levee slope, which everyone knows is much steeper than the landward slope. And so this helps us with access, especially for herbicide applications. I put this last part in here about the Columbia River Treaty. I talked about this, I think it's 2-3 months ago. This is basically a treaty between the United States and Canada, and it deals with the upper reaches of the Columbia River and the water storage and the agreement between the two countries regarding mainly what would we would consider the spring freshets. The dam capacity in southern British Columbia is much larger, actually multiple times larger than anything we have in the United States. And this treaty could have some effects on us, especially the extremes we would experience during the spring freshets. They would be higher than normal because they couldn't hold the water back. And so this is something I'm tracking. There's information on the Army Corps of Engineers website, but this is also a State Department issue because it deals with multiple nations. So there's more information available on the U.S. State Department website as well. As I said, looking ahead, kind of number one on there is this USACE periodic inspection coming up. As I put on there, our pump stations are Thursday, and the levee embankment will be mid-March, March 19th through the 20th. As part of these, the through levee culverts inspections, which I've talked about, we've worked with a local contracting company with dive teams to get the culverts inspected. We're trying to get on their schedule here shortly to get those done. The action plans around the tow drains, which I already talked to the Army Corps of Engineers about. And then one question that was brought up, I talked to the Army Corps about a week or two ago, is inside of the periodic inspection, they call out a relief well testing. When I asked them about it, they didn't really know what that was. And so digging further, it's basically like a well test to see that they're performing correctly. But as of now, I have not been able to be what would be considered the original test of how they performed when they were originally installed. So we wouldn't know if we have a problem or if we've gone backwards or if it's the same. So I've been really trying to track down that information. It would be in the as-built drawings because it was an Army Corps of Engineers process. Then of course, just continue with the blackberry tree removal. Of course, maintain the progress we have so far. Does anybody have any questions up to this point? Because the treaty as it was written, they basically come together and create a plan. They look at how much snow melt they have to hold back. And then the Canada, the United States, mainly the Army Corps of Engineers, they make a plan and say, okay, we need to hold back X amount. Or this is going to be more of like an on-call thing. Like if they get a big snow melt, then they can hold back water. But the problem is once it leaves southern British Columbia, the only thing we have to hold it would be Grand Coulee Dam and a little bit in the John Day Dam Basin. And it's multiple times smaller. And so what ends up happening is, from what I've watched, is they basically have to draw Grand Coulee down very low in the summertime. So you could end up with issues where they've drawn it too low and then you don't have a lot of water in the fall. Or if you get a big runoff, Grand Coulee can't hold it. And then they have no choice but just let it go. So you end up with those bigger, possible bigger fluctuation. Because if you look on the website I put in here, they actually have like a map, and they have like a kind of a, I don't know, layman's term, but it basically shows how big each dam is and how big the holding reservoirs are. And if you just look at like the Arrow Lakes and the Mica Dam complex, it's massively larger than anything we have below in the lower 48 states. So it's when they usually, I always judge things when the Army Corps calls me, it's usually important. It's kind of. Yeah. Yeah, kind of a last minute work. I do. If you just look at the, if you look at the amount of water that they can hold back in Southern British Columbia, you just run the numbers, and it's like if we got a runoff, they don't get it stopped. Once it's past there, it's not really much we can do with it. Got to get to the ocean essentially. You're talking about the encroachments? Yes. They'll still be on there. They may not be permitted, but they'll still be on there. The big ticket items are what they call the rated items. Through levee culvert inspections, tow drains, relief wells, if you have any major bank stability issues. SDIC doesn't have any of what they call closure structures. I have a couple at Deer Island that you have to make sure they're exercised, they're operating, they're functioning properly. They're basically a structure that you gate off during a bad flood. Those are the ones that'll get. Yeah, because you'd have to go through each one of those encroachments individually, and each one would be its most likely would be its own single phase 408 permit. It would take quite a bit of time to work through. Yeah. Yeah. Get rid of them or get them permitted. Because if they'll still be on the periodic inspection, but it'll have a little note at the bottom, permit number, and it'll give you a number. So like to give you an example, Northwest Natural has a line, several lines that feed the marinas. They're permitted. So even though the line will be noted on the inspection, you know, natural gas line crosses levee, permit number, XYZ, and then it'll have a little number, a little letter that says A, which means acceptable. So as long as it's acceptable, you're fine. Because you're never going to get rid of all the encroachments. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I try to focus on the items that get you kicked out of the program altogether. And that's kind of the, like if there's a, I'm going to have a gate on the levee or something, it's not as important as if we don't inspect the culverts. So. From there, as Rob mentioned, we've done the O&M manual updated, flood emergency response plan, the employee handbook. And then as he has also mentioned was the SWOT analysis and the infrastructure list improvement projects that we identified. I have been working with the Columbia County Economic Team and Paul Vogel to identify public funding opportunities for these projects. I actually have a meeting with him tomorrow to follow up on a couple items. Some of these projects can be, I'm hoping to get funded through Business Oregon. Some of them can be actually direct Senate or House appropriations. And how unfortunate some of those that you have to kind of fit them into a box on how to get the appropriations through the federal government is what these would be through. And that's what I'm working with him to help us on to see if we could get some of these or maybe even just a phase of part of them through that process. And then some of the smaller ones hoping to integrate into the 2024-2025 SDIC budget cycle. So that's where we are on that. As Rob said, the website, I hope people have been using it. It says there's people going on it. I don't know if those are robots trying to sell us stuff or it's actually people on there, but it says there's people visiting the website. And then we did finally get the approval of our Mercury TMDL plan. I got that just not too long ago, last week actually. And that does have some reporting requirements, so we will have to track that with the annual calendar. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you, sir. Great job, as usual.
And there is further over there on the table and the website, there is further financial reports. Rob briefly touched on the financial reports. There's actually, you can see there's P&L history, 10-year balance sheets, and 3-year. And these are what we generate for annual reports. These kind of take larger scope in versus the monthly meetings are usually more recent financial statements. So
thank you, Chase. So before we get into item number 7 and we talk about Amanda Hoyt's term expiring for 2024, I think that on behalf of the board and personally, I just want to thank Amanda for the last 3 years of service. I know she's done more than that, but at least the last 3 that I've been a part of almost. Amanda, for those of you who don't know, Amanda has probably the fastest thumbs in Columbia County. She can transfer thousands and thousands of dollars in seconds. And so, for those of you who have attended meetings, we've become very efficient on doing state pool transfers and keeping on our financials, and a lot of that is due to Amanda. So thank you for all that you do. That being said, at this point in time, we're going to take nominations from the floor for the director position for Amanda Hoyt. Okay. For the record, Ken Burnett nominated Amanda Hoyt. Amanda accepts. We need a second. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. And Jeff Winker seconds. Is there anybody else? Okay. So we can make them. Yes, go ahead, Bob. Okay, for the record, Bob moves to close the nominations at this point in time and cast a unanimous ballot for Amanda Hoyt.
Do we need to split those into 2 motions? We don't need to make the closing and the casting of the ballot 2 separate.
A second.
Okay. Thank you, Megan. Okay. Yep. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. It sounds pretty unanimous. Any discussion? No nays? All right.
Do you nay?
No, I don't nay.
Shush. So, all right. Motion carries. And Amanda, congratulations. Elected to another 3-year term.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that I could put my joy into words. So I'll decline. Yeah. Boundless.
But in all seriousness, we do appreciate you volunteering. All right. So moving on to item 7B, just to some housekeeping items. Hostetler and Wheeler terms will expire in 2025. Augeri and Kessie terms will expire 2026.
I
Number 8, any new business that we need to discuss? I don't think there's any new business that we need to discuss. I think we've discussed all the new business in the two reports. So before we adjourn the meeting, and again, this meeting will be followed up immediately after. We'll take a short break, but then we'll jump into our monthly meeting, our monthly board of directors meeting. So for those of you who want to stick around, you're more than welcome to. For those of you who can't, thank you for attending today. It seems like the crowd is getting smaller and smaller every year. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but for those of you that are here, we appreciate you being here. This board, I'm not speaking for myself, but this board does put a lot of effort into a lot of the things that we've accomplished. As Chase was rattling off things, it's pretty easy to say, oh, we amended the O&M manual, or oh, we adopted an employee handbook, or we did these things. They're just bullet points, but there's lots and lots of hours and legwork that I know Jeff can attest to, and some other previous board members could attest to. So it's been a team effort with everybody involved, so thank you. Another special thank you to Janelle. Sorry for my screw up this afternoon, but thank you for all that you do. Janelle's been a huge asset for us. We have streamlined our meeting minutes. We haven't got a negative comment on meeting minutes in a long time. And a lot of it's due to because how clean they are first round. So thank you for capturing the essence of the meeting without making it 1,000 pages long. It's very much appreciated. And then just one more shout out for Chase. A lot of you interact with Chase probably a little bit more than I do, but each interaction that I have with Chase, it's always a positive interaction. He's very hands-on. And I think that we are in a much better place than we were, say, 7, 8, 9 years ago, largely due to Chase's effort. So really appreciate all that he's brought on board, and hope you stick around, pal. You're doing a great job.
I'd like to echo that. We are very lucky to have Chase. He mentioned big ticket items in his manager report, but there's also lots of smaller ticket items and things that he's like an SDIC Jedi. I mean, you know, so I'm just really appreciate him a lot.
Okay, two last shout outs and I'll let everybody go. Todd, thank you for being here. There's no way we could have got the lights on without you. So thank you for being here. Yes, exactly. And Mr. Condon, as always, thank you for attending and keeping us in line. So before we close, is there any further comment from the board? Any further comment from the public? Staff? Okay, it is 6:09 and 36 seconds. We'll go ahead and call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Do you want to pause?
Record. It has to be a world record.
Water break.
What happened?
All right, it's 6:33:50. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. This is the, where's my agenda? Oh, thank you. Okay. Our annual, or our board of directors meeting, February 13th. So we can do introductions. We just did that from our annual meeting, but we'll go ahead and do introductions anyways. Starting on our left.
Karen Kesey, Vice President of the Board.
Robert Hosteller, President.
Amanda Hoyt, Secretary Treasurer.
Megan Ogieri, Board.
Chase Christensen, General Manager.
Jeff Condit, Legal Counsel.
Janelle Grayson, Office Administrator.
Todd Graham, IT Support.
Chris Nagelspa, representing City of Scappoose.
Wyatt Roseman, representing Northwest Aggregates, Glacier Northwest.
Bob Short, representing Airpark Development, SDIC Junkie.
And that's the truth. All right, well, nobody's attending online? Okay. All right, well, thank you guys for sticking around. So let's start off like we normally do. Any public comment? Or three public attendees? All right, go ahead. Thank you, Bob.
Oh. I hardly know what to say to that. We don't get compliments.
So,
yeah. This is yeah. First. What?
So one thing that Chase and I noticed just moments ago that we missed, I'd like to say we don't make many mistakes, but we make lots of mistakes, but usually not with the agenda. We don't have our meeting minutes on the agenda from our January meeting, so we're going to skip through those, and we'll add the January and February meeting minutes to March's meeting, and we'll approve them at that point in time. So with that little note, we need a motion to approve the agenda as presented, unless there's any other amendments.
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Thank you, ladies. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. It is approved. Okay, now for the meat and potatoes of this fine meeting, election of officers. So I think you need me to read the rules of electing officers out loud, or is that something skip over? Okay. Okay.
I think we know how.
Everybody in here knows how it works, so. Yeah. All right, so the first position that we need to elect, item 4A, is the president of the board for another.
Nominate Rob.
Second. I move to close nominations.
Any discussion? Any at all? One discussion.
Okay. Nope.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. You hear that bus backing up? Beep, beep. Felt it. Okay. Now we need a nomination for the vice president position.
Karen, would you like to continue? I nominate Karen Kesey for vice president.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Karen, for volunteering. And item 4C, the third position for the treasurer secretary.
I move to nominate Amanda Hoyt for treasurer.
And we'll close nominations. All right. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Motion carries. All right. Well, thank you both for continuing on.
Transactions.
Did receive two last minute invoices, one from Metro Presort for $22.33. That was for the annual member mailing, as well as Lawrence Oil for some oil for the Evans pump station for $300, which brings a total up to $36,533.40, which rounded off is just $37,000. State pool transfer.
And Cornforth up there.
Yeah, that would be the Cornforth would been for the 408, and that's a reimbursable expense.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to, and that we're kind of at a point now. I try to bill Heidelberg, every several months. I'm actually going to put together a invoice for them probably here this next month.
Okay. So we need a motion to transfer $37,000 from the state pool account
and approve transaction as presented.
Approve the transaction as presented.
I move to approve the transaction as presented and the $37,000 transfer.
Second.
You ladies, any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Transfer complete.
Gary, unless he skips one. There's one month I went to sign, I got the last one and he missed it. I'm
like, we're just signing checks. Item 5A.
I'm going to make a request to change the date of the meeting in March.
Yeah, so we have a couple scheduling conflicts for the March 14th meeting date. So we need a motion to move that date to March 7th at the same time, 6 p.m. Motion.
Okay, I move that, okay, let's start over. I move to move the regular monthly board meeting from March to the 7th.
Second.
So the motion on the table is to move the previously scheduled March 14th meeting date to March 7th, same time, 6 p.m. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. March 7th, it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, not a whole lot of action items to review tonight. There are... As long as the state pool has been transferred and we get the March 7th meeting or the March 7th date changed and the meeting minutes from January on next month's agenda, those are really the only three takeaways that I have.
Sounds good. And I will change the website to adjust accordingly.
Okay, before we adjourn, any public comment? Okay, again, Chris, Wyatt, Bob, thank you for sticking around. Have a good night.
Thank you for attending.